We have been a few weeks from looking at our study here in the book of Exodus, and of course we're going to go to chapter 33, and we had looked at the previous chapter, and this was several weeks ago. Moses, of course, we'd spent a few weeks there where he had prayed for the people as they had sinned, and they had made them a golden calf, and of course the chapter ended with him going back to the Lord and interceding, and essentially as the chapter ends, he doesn't even know what to pray. God, if you would just save these people, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And of course, God ends that chapter with a plague. That is, those that had sinned against God, they did go through a physical plague. But now we go to chapter 33. And I'm going to look at a number of verses here, but I want to bring your attention by way of text to verse 11. Because chapter 33 reminds us of the relationship that Moses himself had with the Lord. As you notice in verse 11, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Now, of course, the tabernacle had been set up outside the camp, and Moses was the only one that would go and meet with the Lord personally. And God makes this comment that the Lord had a unique relationship with Moses, and Moses had a unique relationship with the Lord, and he spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend face to face. You know, later on, his brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, are going to criticize him for having married an Ethiopian. And as they are finding fault with him, God actually comes and questions Miriam and Aaron. And again, when he asks a question, he's not seeking information. But he asks them to make them think to themselves. He says, you know, if I want to speak to somebody, I'll do it through dreams and visions. He says, but my servant Moses is not so. A man that I speak to face, even apparently and not in dark speeches. He says, how were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I mean, it's remarkable that they would speak against, here is a man who clearly walked with God. Now, I know that Moses did not have all the advantage that we have of understanding the full revelation of God that he's revealed in this book. The Bible was still being unfolded, he being, of course, one of the early authors to be able to write it down. And yet, with what light God had given him, he, by the grace of God, had sought the Lord and walked with him and met with him and saw him in a face to face. Now, later he makes the point that he was seeing God as it were face to face. He didn't actually see God's face. But it was just like I would sit down with a friend of mine and commune with him back and forth, two-way communication. And he said, that's how Moses spoke with God. Now, I'm not trying to emulate a man, but I do learn something from Moses that I certainly would like to achieve. And that is a unique walk with God. I mean, if Moses could walk with the Lord in the Old Testament with the light that he had, how much more a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ with the full revelation of the Bible, understanding who the Messiah is, the one that Moses vaguely spoke of, a prophet like unto myself that God promised, and now he's been revealed. You remember Hebrews chapter 1, God had at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. I mean, he lives in our heart, and we can know him. But I do see some things in this chapter that do remind me of some biblical principles, some very basic things that really are required to walk with God. Now, the first thing I notice about Moses, and certainly we could see this in other places as well, and it takes this to walk with God, and that is a desire. Now, that seems like it would go without saying, doesn't it? Well, of course, you ought to desire it, but you know you can be saved and overlook your need to walk with God. I mean, you're saved by the grace of God. God saved you unconditionally. You don't get saved by diligently seeking it. You don't get saved by working hard at it. You don't get saved by checking off some boxes. You're saved by the grace of God, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, as a believer, after I'm saved, I ought to have a desire in my heart to walk with God. Now, when I'm saved, I'm sure early, I want to walk with him. But you know, we can be blinded by this world. We are cautioned against being distracted. We're cautioned against growing cold. And so I think of Psalm 40, verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I mean, a thirst has to do with a need for quenching. Now, my need for quenching is that I need something that only God can quench, and that is a thirst in my soul to know him. You know, anybody that's saved can meet this first condition. You can desire it. You know what desire comes from? Recognizing you don't have it. Recognizing that whatever I do have is inadequate and that I need to know him more. But then there's another principle here in this desire. I want you to read in this chapter, because notice in verse 2, the Lord now, of course, is displeased with the people. He's plagued the people. The Lord says to Moses, all right, it's time to go. And then in verse 2, he says, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hivite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. I'm going to drive them out unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Look at verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, God responds, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said, if thy presence not go with me, carry us up not hence. Now, if you think about it, in chapter 33 and verse 2, God said, all right, the people have sinned, I've plagued them, but I made a promise. I told you I was going to take you to the land, so I'm going to send an angel ahead of you. He's going to be with you, and he is going to drive out the Jebusite, and then I'm going to give you the land. But I'm not going to be in the midst of you lest I come up and consume you in the way. He said over later, Moses brings this back up. Now, Lord, you told me you were going to send somebody. I don't really want you to send somebody. I want you to go with us. But now, God promised them they were going to get in the land. They were going to get the Jebusite driven out. The angel would go with them and make sure they got there. Frankly, the result would have been the same. They would have gotten to the land, and he would have driven out the Jebusite because he said he was going to. Now, I could see some Israelites saying, well, long as we get there, long as we get in, long as we're able to go, I'm okay with that. But Moses said, I don't want the land as much as I want the Lord. You know, people today will look at the convenience of God. And it may sound somewhat spiritual when you first hear them. They're looking for a miracle from God. And we think, well, they're giving God a little credit. He can do something in their life. If you listen to some of the health, wealth, prosperity, gospel, TV, charlatan preachers, what they'll bring up is you need healing. You need a miracle. You need the anointing. And even then, the anointing is something that is self-serving, that benefits you. You know, there are benefits to walking with God. If you walk with God, you probably could attest tonight, I've seen God do some miraculous things. If you walk with God, you could attest tonight there is an anointing that God can give and help you do things you couldn't do on your own. You could attest tonight that there's a lot of things that are beneficial for knowing God. You can have peace that passes all understanding. You can have help in the time of need. All of those are great, and we ought to praise him for giving them to us, but do you just want the benefit, or do you want the Lord? Moses said, I'm not satisfied that you would just get us across the wilderness and an angel is going to be there to drive out our enemy. Yeah, that gives us the land, but I don't just want the land. I want your presence. So he comes to God and he says, now, God, you hadn't told me who's going to come yet. And, you know, you've said I found grace in your sight. I don't claim to deserve it, but you've told me I found grace. And you're kind of implying that this angel's coming, you know, really, I want you to tell me. And he said, okay, I will go with you. Again, at the prayer of Moses, God says, my presence will go with you. And Moses says, if your presence don't go, don't even carry us. In other words, if the presence of God is going to be out here in the wilderness, leave us out here. You know, we'd be better off in our heart and our mind to realize wherever God is, that's where I want to go. Now, you lay that out to some people and you say, well, what if God and knowing him brought you a lack of these benefits? I mean, what if it held you back from the prosperity? Would you still want God? What if knowing God brought some persecution? Would you still want him? What if knowing God didn't give you the miracle you're looking for, but it brought some hard times and some hardships? Now, we're not asking for those, but do we want the Lord, or do we just want the convenience of what the benefits bring? I mean, a lot of times there is a self-serving attitude among the religious teaching and stuff that's out there, the kind of things people are saying, well, why don't you know a good reason to be saved today? It's because I want to know God. I just want to know him. I mean, yeah, I want to go to heaven, and certainly my flesh doesn't want to go to hell. That's probably all it can understand, is that it doesn't want to go to hell. But to know God, that is, once I'm saved by his grace, I need a desire. Now, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, the bottom line is God is so good, he's so gracious, and this is why it's so easy to confuse people, is that when you do seek him, he does bring miracles in your life. When you do seek him, he is a help in the time of need. There's nothing wrong with me joying in the fact and relishing the fact that my Lord is with me, that he watches over me, that he can comfort me in the time of need, that he can give me grace when there's a need for that, that he can certainly bring healing when physical healing is necessary. He has the ability to do that. Yes, it's wonderful to know that he can. But if I'm simply motivated by that, rather than first and foremost, I want to know him, then I'm missing the desire aspect. See, Moses says, if it means not having your presence, but going to the land, I'll take your presence and not go to the land. Now, that's how Moses walked with God. He didn't do that to walk with him, but that's why he was able to walk with him, because there was a desire there. You know, there is something inside of every man that wants to know God. Now, it's been confused by the fall, really to the point of being dead. Our spirit is dead. But the mechanism is there. When you're saved and you get be made and you're made new, well, then you have that part of you made new. That there is something inside that is ignited at that point that wants to know God. But it's the distractions of this life. It's the things that we deal with every day, and the blinding of the devil. Just like the Bible says over in 1 Timothy that a person who's called to be a soldier doesn't get distracted with the affairs of this life, but to please him who's called him to be a soldier. We get distracted today, but those distractions can't overcome our desire to walk with God. So there was a desire. I know he saw God face to face. Clearly, he put his presence ahead of the benefits, as it were. Then I want you to see, secondly, the diligence. Now, Moses already has a clear relationship with the Lord to the point that God said, I spoke to him face to face. I mean, nobody else knew God like this in the day of Moses. I mean, this was an unusual. In fact, what other prophet really walks with the Lord and talks with him on this kind of a level besides Moses? I mean, Elijah was a tremendous prophet and did some wonderful things, but you don't find these kind of conversations with Elijah. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he heard the cherubim and the cherubim, and he heard a voice say, who will go for me? So yes, he heard some things, but he didn't have a conversation like a face-to-face conversation. This is a unique thing, but now Moses is at that point. But then verse 18 says this. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, come on, Moses. How much do you want? I mean, you already speak to me face to face. You've prayed. I was just about to wipe the whole nation out, offered you a promotion and said, I'll make you a great people. And he prayed, okay, I'll do it, Moses. I won't destroy this people. And then you pray again and say, blot me out of the book. And I said, well, no, Moses, I can't go that far. I mean, you've prayed now, and I was going to send an angel. You prayed now, I'm going to go with you. And Moses, you even want more? Well, I'll tell you, you can't get too much of a walk with God. You're never going to displease the Lord if you say, I want to know you just a little better than I know you. You know, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, most of us have that part, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, diligence, don't get the idea that that means that if somebody's lost and they don't know Christ, that they've got to work hard at trying to get to know God. And all you got to do is respond to the gospel to be saved. He confronts you with your lost condition, shows you your loss, lifts up the Son of God, and you say, yes, I see who he is, and you just stop rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. God will save you. But after you're saved, diligence. Diligence is not an act. Diligence is what makes you act. He said, oh God, I'm walking with you, but would you show me your glory? I mean, I talk with you as it were face to face. Can I actually see your face? Well, God isn't going to show him his actual face because he explains. He said in verse 20, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So what was Moses implying? Why did he explain that to him? He said, God, you know, I know we talk like you're my friend and we're face to face, but I'd actually like to see you. And God didn't say no. He just said, let me tell you how I'm going to have to work this out. Now, that's diligence. To diligently seek him. You know, what is diligence when it comes to a walk with God? I mean, it's not an act, but it's something that makes you act. It is, first of all, an attention. You know, what takes your attention? What takes your focus? What is it that you default back to when you become idle? You know, we have other things to do in life. I get that. There's other things that does require our attention that we must attend to in life, and not all of it has specifically to do with the Bible. And as guided by the Bible, we're guided. But, you know, my mind is on my job. I've got to build a house, then I've got to figure out how I'm going to do it. If I'm an accountant, I've got to work on these books. If I've got a family to raise, I'm going to have to decide, you know, how am I going to accomplish this? I mean, there's affairs of life are real. But when you go back to neutral, when you default back to your guiding principle, where is it? If you're diligent, it falls back to my walk with God. It is attention. It's focus. It's the thing that grabs you. You know, some people are very diligent about sports. They don't have time to do it all the time, but when they do, that's what they default to. Some are very diligent about a hobby. They can't do it all the time because they don't make a living doing that, but boy, when they can, that's where they're at. Now, diligence is I just can't get away from my walk with the Lord. That doesn't mean that people that walk with God doesn't play a sport, doesn't mean that they don't have a hobby, doesn't mean they don't have other, we say distractions, we mean distractions from your main job. It's probably good to have distractions. I mean, Jesus told his disciples, come apart for a while, as somebody said, so they don't come apart. It takes distraction. But when you default back to your guiding principle of life, diligence is, that's the direction I want to go in. See, that's what Moses had. Moses had some things to do too. But he said, you know, Lord, I got to get back down to the camp. I know we got a big job and we're going to be heading off soon. But can I just a little small thing, could I see you? Can I just, I mean, we've talked a lot. Can I just look at you? I've never seen you. God said, that's a big request. And no, you couldn't and live. And I want you to live for a while. But I will do something special for you. So he had a desire. He had diligence. But I'll tell you what else it takes to walk with God, and that's discernment. Now, he was able to discern some things about God. Look at verse 19. See, he requested in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me my glory. And he didn't immediately tell him he couldn't see his face. He introduces it like this. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, I want you to stop and think about that phrase. God is going to make all his goodness pass before Moses. How much is that? He can't see his face. You say, well, explain to me why he couldn't see his face and live. If he'd have explained it to me, I'd explain it to you. But that's what he says. He may well mean because he is incorporeal, physical eyes would not be able to see him. If you saw him, it would just be what God was creating for you to see. He could have meant that. Or as it seems to imply, you wouldn't live if you saw my face. Maybe that's what it means. John 1 says something very similar. No man's seen God at any time. But he said, I'm going to get you as close as you can get in your human frame, and my goodness is going to pass before you. Now, there's a lot of things about God that he is. It's interesting to me that the first thing when he said, I want to see you, is God says, well, then you got to see my goodness. I mean, God's holy. He could have seen his holiness, and no doubt in the last part he did. He could see his power. He could be impressed with all he was able to do, but God says, well, if you're going to see me, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. You know, God is good. And God is declaring that if you see him, you're going to see something good. I mean, good is kind of hard to define, isn't it? But you know what it means. You try to come up with it, well, it's not bad. But it means more than that. But God says whatever it is. In fact, how would you, you know, a great illustration of good is God. Because God is good. Now, he says, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Again, if we every one of these phrases are rich. You know, it's interesting to me that when God refers to his name, he did not say, and he could have, I will proclaim my name. His name is so holy and so reverend that even when God referred to it, he said the name of the Lord. I will, and this is the same name that he gave him in chapter 3. So he says, I'm going to pass before thee with my goodness and proclaim. What is that? All I can take it is he means this. When Moses says, and I go to the people of Israel and I say, you know, who sent me? And he says, tell them I am sent you. That's the Lord. I am is the Lord. He says, I'm going to pass. All my goodness is going to pass before you. And I'm going to say, I am. That's how important his name is. He said, if I want to tell you, you want to see God, you're going to hear, I am that I am. And he says, my goodness, I am that I am, and will be gracious unto who I will be gracious, and will have mercy on whom I shall show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, nor shall no man see it and live. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 46:10, says, be still and know that I am God. Now, I said in order to walk with God, you need discernment. You know, in order to walk with the Lord, yes, there's prayer involved. You talk to God, you pray, that's communication. You read his word. In simplistic way, the word speaks to you. You speak to God, that's communication. But in the midst of both of those, and where true communication comes from, is when you hear the voice of God. Now, this is the word of God. And you won't get the voice of God without the word of God. But you can have the word of God without the voice of God. It's the letter that killeth, the spirit that gives life. So the voice of God, Moses gives us a little insight here. He's wanting to hear more. God, I know what you said. I know what you've told me. I speak to you. But would you show me your glory? That wasn't even words, was it? Show me your glory. He said, I've heard your words, but I want to see your glory. God says, well, here's what I'm going to do. You look at verse 21. Behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Somebody ought to write a song about that. Now, Moses now is being stuck here in this crevice. You picture this. The hand of God covers him. God says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to pass by. You won't see me, but you're going to see the afterglow of God. Just to be able to see where God just was is about all you're going to be able to handle. But now, I thought about this. What about when the hand had covered Moses? He's in that cleft of the rock. He's anticipating. He's waiting to, how's this going to look? What's he going to show me? And it got dark. His hand covered him. I don't know how long it covered him. I don't know how long he had to sit there with anticipation. I don't know how long he had to wait. But I know this, it was worth the wait. Do you know God sometimes will leave you in darkness? Now, I don't use the same word darkness that a lost man's in. Darkness is just the lack of light. Have you ever gone to God? I'm asking. I'm looking for something. And I don't seem to be hearing anything. I mean, I know what it says. I know what I'm supposed to do. But I just sense, God, there's something I'm not hearing from you. Now, sometimes you don't hear because you're distracted. But I mean, God, sometimes, what if it was just, if I went to God and says, you know, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 34 today. And as I read that and God just showed me everything there was to know about it up and down, I came out with full scale understanding of every truth that he laid out. And I said, well, you know, God, I got just half a chapter by long handle today. I mean, that's a lot. And I just, you know, and then next week I'll try it again. I just, anytime I open this book, boy, I'll just glean it out of there. You would take it for granted. All you got to do is read it and God just show it to you. Well, I'm not telling you it's cryptic. The Bible says what it says, means what it says. There's no excuse to say, oh, well, somebody's got to interpret it for me. No, you don't. But you can interpret it. That is, you can read it and see what it says. But God speaks to you through his Spirit. And he might leave you in the dark a little bit. All that darkness does is makes you want to know, God, you got something to show me here. And I'll tell you this, and this is spiritual exaggeration. I guess I call it that. It just means I made it up. But God sometimes will cover you with his hand, and he'll let enough light peek in just to whet your appetite. You know, boy, I want to see more. I see the edge of, man, that glory, I think it's coming around the edge there. God, go ahead and move your hand, because I want to see it. But he'll show you when he gets ready. And I bet you he wasn't disappointed when he looked out behind that. You say, what did he see? The afterglow of God. I mean, wherever God was and moved. Now, I get this is a physical, I believe with his physical eye, he saw something. But Moses really was never the same after this. He came back down the mountain. You remember when he came back down? He had to put a veil on his face. Some of that glow rubbed off on him. I mean, it saved him all kinds of money on skin care and makeup and all that kind of stuff when he saw God. Now, I'm not recommending that. I think walking with God and a little makeup probably helped some of you. But anyway, but he was never the same. Because he had discernment. He had an ear to listen. You know, this is not something you turn off like a light switch. I mean, it takes time to be holy, as the songwriter says. We have to be still and know that he is God. I mean, the great apostle Paul, who would be the equivalent of a Moses of the New Testament in the sense that he had a unique walk with God. As much as he walked with the Lord and as much as he was dedicated, just like Job, if we can think of a great man of God, three men that come to my mind that were like this, Moses being, I beseech thee, show me my glory. Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I mean, Job, oh, if I could just find God. And then what did Paul say in Philippians 3:10? Paul said he wanted to know him in a greater way. And the power of his resurrection. I mean, for a man like that to pray that he could know God in a way that he didn't know him before. Well, that's because we need a listening ear. We need discernment. Now, Moses set that example, but these principles are all through the scripture because, you know, really, it's all by the grace of God. We desire, if I have a desire to know him today, there's no pat on the back for me. That's the grace of God that put that desire in my heart. It's only my rebellion that would turn it away, but he put it there. If I have a diligence, it's not because, well, look how good I am at seeking the Lord. No, it's because the grace of God, just like he told Moses, he kept emphasizing it, put that pull back. This is where you need to be. This is the way. Walk you in it. And if I discern anything from the Lord, God didn't require to show me anything. But by God's grace, remarkably, he wants to show me his glory and wants me to know him in that kind of way. Well, in order to know him, you got to know his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. But that is the beginning of what ought to be a walk with the Lord. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we're thankful for